This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hello there, Mike. How are you doing today?
I think you better turn up the volume, sir.
You want it up?
Yeah.
How's that?
I don't know. I can't hear you there. I can hear you
that,
now.
That a little better?
Yeah, I hope you're. I hope somebody's out there listening because it's a nice nice fall day with a kind of a drip out there. It's called rain, I think.
Rain. I thought you were calling me a drip.
Well, you are, but I didn't want to say that on the air.
Oh, thank you.
But anyway, welcome to the show, Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and it's about, I discuss all kinds of things that has to do with landscaping, gardening, pruning, planting, all the whole nine yards. So if you have a question, 673-4464 is the number to call. Ask your question, we'll have a discussion, and I will do everything in my power to help you get through your dilemma of gardening. How's
cool.
That?
Sounds good.
And that means lawns, you know, gardens, landscaping, fertilizing, pruning, planting your landscape, the whole nine yards, okay? So, finally, the leaves are falling in droves. You know, that's all we need is a little bit of rain. I mean, those leaves have been hanging on for forever. It's like November now. I don't know what they're doing. So what can a person do when your entire yard is covered in leaves? Well, you got a couple choices. You can leave them there and let them rot and maybe kill your lawn. But if you don't have a lawn, they add mulch to your mulch. You know, that's
there you
a good
go.
Thing.
Have it. Let the kids slide in.
Right. When I was about 4 years old, lived up in Rochester, New York, where I was born, and my father would rake all the leaves. Had this huge backyard and rake all the leaves in this great big old pile. And before he burned them, and then he did burn them. But I always thought it was fun, but I'd run and dive into that bottom of that pile and bury myself in the leaves. And, you know, that to me, that was like going to the amusement park. But
sure. He didn't set the leaves on fire then, did he?
Yeah, he tried, you know,
did
but
he?
My mother thankfully stopped him.
Oh,
but,
no.
But I have since learned there are better uses of how to get rid of those leaves. And several of them is... one, you can. We have this great service here in Roseburg where you can rake all your leaves and put them out by the curb, and the city of Roseburg comes by with a truck and a loader and picks them up and hauls them to the landfill. Or you can put them to good use in your own yard. If you have a vegetable garden that you use every year, those leaves are future nutrition for your garden. So you could start a mulch pile in the back corner of your yard and let those leaves break down into some fine mulch, and then have the best planting soil available for free. Just a little bit of labor on your part, but they break down, you know, fairly readily. Maple leaves being the biggest that we have, and we have a lot of maple trees.
Yes.
And we
yes,
should have called it maple wood or something.
There you go.
But
Mapleburg.
Mapleburg. That'd be a good name. Why don't we change that? Petition the commissioners for that. But at any rate, you pile them up, and the ones on the bottom begin to disintegrate and rot and turn into mulch. And sometimes, you know, if you have a fresh pile, it'll probably take, you know, a couple of years, a couple of seasons for it to totally break down. But the more you add to it, you know, a little small, if you're doing some pruning in your yard or something like that, little small twigs, not branches that are an inch in diameter, but, you know, the little twigs as you're trying to take out of your fruit trees or something to make them more productive and throw them on there. And you can throw vegetable scraps and all kinds of stuff. And after a while, you've got this very fine, beautiful mulch that you can use in any planting, and chock full of nutrients. And it really makes a fine potting soil as well. So
nice.
That's the good thing about leaves and creating your own natural fertilizer that you don't have to go to the co-op or somewhere else and buy a bag for $29.95 or whatever the heck the price is nowadays. I think it raised $10 in the last year, for crying out loud. Because I've used tons of it in my 50 years of landscaping and nursery nursery work, but that's good stuff to have. I have many piles at my place, and after a while they just they're there, and you can throw them in. I throw ours in our garden for the following year so that we can till it in, and instead of buying any more topsoil or you know, good nutritious soil, we got the leaves to do that. Grass clippings the same way, you know, anything that's quote organic that will break down is chock full of nutrition, and you don't have to add a whole lot of bagged fertilizer. You know, it always helps to have a little bit of that, but you don't have to add a whole lot of that for good production in any of your garden or any of your plant materials around your landscape, whether it's rhodies, azaleas, fruit trees, that kind of thing. It's all good, and it gets down. It takes a while for the nutrients to get down into the root systems, but once it does and it penetrates into that root system, you've got a natural thing going on.
Kind of like my hair.
You don't want to see his hair. I don't know if we got cameras in this place, but it's rather.
I actually thought it'd be gone by now.
Yeah, well, it won't be gone until you shave your head, partner. I'm surprised they let you in the building, but
never mind. I think I already told you somebody said something.
I know, and we can't repeat it on the air here, so. But organic material that you make yourself is always good, and it's good for your planting of shrubs or trees. Dress your lawn with it each winter, and it's really great for potted plants as well. And this material is better than anything you can buy unless you go to a co-op or Magnolia Farms or something like that and buy their nutrient mix right out of there, and you can get a whole truckload fairly expensively, but it does a good job and it lasts a long time. Well, last week I was talking about shade trees that are tough, that are fast growing and beautiful, but there's more to the story.
And maybe
you don't want to have a tree that drops leaves every fall. Well, there are some other choices to be had, and you can get the same kind of bang for the buck, if you will, on conifers. And conifers any cone-bearing type evergreen tree, like spruces, pines, firs, you know, that kind of thing. As to all the dead needles that drop and settle under the tree, you can, if you got a big tree, fairly large tree, say a 20-footer or bigger, there's quite a bit of that old needles that drop down there, and you can just kind of rake them lightly off and put them in a bucket or put them on your compost pile. And anything you have like that adds to whatever you're going to plant further on. And, you know, conifers, you know, like I say, they're fir, pine, hemlock, spruce, all those kinds. They don't work as good as, say, oaks or maples because they do in fact create some shade, and it's kind of limited, but the taller they get, the more shade you get because they don't spread out. They're more conical in shape. And, once they get up there, oh gosh, say 15 feet and better, you know, they begin to give you a little bit of shade, but they're not like the maples, they're not like the oaks and that kind of thing.
How long would that take?
Oh, I don't know, 10 years maybe before they really got up.
So they're like the oak, slow growing.
They're not slow growing, it's the shape, because they're wide at the bottom and they narrow as they go taller, the branches narrow up. And so consequently, whereas the maples or the oaks are big canopies of leaves after a while, and there's a heck of a lot more to get from that. But the conifers do a good job. And some of them are quicker, like Leyland cypress. It's a very, very fast-growing evergreen tree, and they're like the fastest of the evergreens that I know of. And their foliage and their branches are very thick, and they make a great privacy screen as well as shade. And as they get up, say, you know, 15, 20 feet, they will give you some shade. And but unlike the leaf bearing ones, and their needles, when they drop, they're all good. It's all chock full of nutrition. You can, you know, lightly rake them up and throw them again on your compost pile, and mix them with all the rest of the ingredients. And you got a number one stuff. I mean, you can grow anything in this stuff, and it just really, really adds to your production in your garden, vegetable garden I'm talking about.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, because, and we've been doing that, for a long, long time. But about 3 years ago, I guess it was, or 4 years ago, I built some raised planters, you know, out of redwood. And they're about 3 feet tall, maybe 2.5 to 3 feet tall, and about 5-6 feet wide, and they're fairly long, 35 feet long. Mm-hmm. But it's makes it so much easier to work things in, because you don't have to bend over, you don't have to kneel, you don't have to do any of that.
And that's hard on us old folks.
Yeah, us old folks, you know, it's not hard to get down. It's hard
to get
up. The getting down is good.
More ways than one.
Yeah, we get down. Wow, what am I doing flat on my back?
Yeah, that's right. We get down, baby.
Yeah. But, you know, those trees are there, and even some shrubs that drop their leaves you can use as compost material. And for, like I say, filtered shade, you can plant the pines, the firs, the cedars, the cypress, those kinds of guys. And they grow kind of at a moderate rate. You might get, out of a Leyland cypress, you'll sure get 2 or 3 feet a year. But out of a Doug fir, you might get 18 inches to 2 feet if it's in good soil.
Yeah.
A pine is a little bit slower than that. But after a while, you know, 20 years zips by and you go, wow, how did that tree get so big? Dear, I planted it too close to the house.
I didn't even notice it.
It was just a little baby when I planted it. Yeah. I'm guilty of that. But before it got too big, I transplanted them. And I got one in my front yard that we extended our porch 1 year out, so it's, you know, fairly wide, so you can set chairs and tables out there and have a picnic or whatever. And this one blue spruce I planted was good 20 feet from the house. Now the deck is within 10 feet probably 10 feet of the spruce, and so it's kind of... Yeah, it's kind of close, and I'm contemplating, do I need to cut that down or let it go for a few more years? Well, they don't grow fast, so I can let it go for a few more years safely, but eventually I think I'm going to have to cut that puppy out, and I don't want to. It's a beautiful, beautiful
tree. It's probably providing some shade.
Well, in some parts of the yard it is. Not so much from our deck area, but right below the deck where the tree is, you can sit there and read the news review in the sun.
I'm glad you said the news review.
Well, or, you know, the Oregonian or the registered car.
I knew you had to. I shouldn't have said anything.
Oh, I'm loyal to the news review.
Yes, he is. I give him one every week when he comes in.
Yeah, I get a free paper for being on the show. That's good pay.
Yeah, see? That's a Benny.
Yeah, that's a Benny. All right. But any tree, any shrub is going to provide you long-term nutritious compost material if you collect it up rather than burn it or throw it away. Rig it up and put it in a pile in the back corner of your yard and forget it. And then go out once a year and take a shovel or a pitchfork and turn it over. And underneath on the bottom, you'll see how dark it got, and it's just rich. It's fine, and everything is broken down, easily handled. It doesn't smell. It's not manure. It's just good stuff. So
speaking of good stuff, we got a break.
We got a break. We'll be back. Any questions? 673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hello there, it's 423, and what is our number?
673-4464 if you have a question on anything in your yard. Doesn't have to be what I'm talking about. You can, you know, how high should you mow your grass, or should I turn my sprinklers off yet?
Or what are you going to wear for Halloween next year?
Yeah, what's your Halloween favorite Halloween costume for next year? But anyway, I'm talking about conifers that can be used as shade trees as well as nutrition suppliers for your lawns, your gardens, and that kind of thing. And it's good stuff. It's natural, and, you know, and there's usually no chemicals in it. And you can plant them and have beauty and shade and compost for your gardens or lawns or whatever. So it's a multi-use, if you will.
Yeah.
The one thing about cedars that I like, and I named them off as one of the conifers, you know, earlier on in the show, they're a very attractive tree in their branching patterns, and there's like several varieties to choose from. What we see around here mostly are incense cedar. It grows in rocky, hard, full sun,
true,
hardly any soil, and it grows, I mean, just, it doesn't grow fast, but
it
grows steady, and you see very few cedars, very few incense cedars die of lack of water. They just
it's kind of like they make their own.
Oh yeah, they're a tough tree.
Yeah,
but you know, and you'll get if you want a little bit of shade from an incense cedar, you'll get some pretty good shade because the branching structure in an incense cedar is very close, whereas in a Douglas fir or even a spruce, there's spacing between branches, and so there'll be filtered shade and filtered sun. But on an incense cedar, very thick, very full of foliage, and you know, and if you do prune it, you've got decorations for Christmas. I mean, that's boughs and that kind of thing. So it's
cool.
A good thing to do that. And like I say, they're the hardiest of all. The only thing they don't like is water. I mean, you can put, once they're planted, very little care is needed. And there you won't find too many of them in the nurseries because of they're not popular like say a spruce or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But for hardiness and toughness, they can't be beat.
Mother Nature loves them.
And very little care. Like I say, no care basically. And like if you do have one, first year you water maybe twice a month, in the hottest part of the summer, like June to September. And you maybe fertilize once a month with a tree fertilizer very lightly, and they'll develop a very, very strong root system. And if the tree survives the first year, you'll never have to water it again unless you feel sorry for it. You know, I mean, that's the way it goes. And the same way it goes for the fertilizer because, they grow in the natural areas, and you see some of these hillsides here around Roseburg, and you'll see a nice stand. You can go out towards Dixonville or, you know, 10 Mile that way, and you'll see a nice stand of these really bright, light green, full trees, and those are incense cedar. And like I say, they grow in groups or groves of their own, and you won't find a whole bunch of Doug fir and one incense cedar. You'll find a lot of incense cedars and maybe a Doug fir.
They like company.
Yeah, they like their own kind. They get along well with one another. But Doug fir can grow on south slopes and in hot places, but it sure doesn't do as well, like, say, as an incense cedar. And in an incense cedar, they grow thick enough that if you want to have a natural barrier, privacy barrier, you got a yard large enough or acreage large enough, and you want to cut off the highway because it makes so much noise, or there's a neighboring home that you think is a little too close or whatever, you can plant a row of these things, and in no time at all, they'll block out that noise, they'll block out that road, they'll block out that house, and you'll never know they exist. You know, and like I say, they're multiple users. You can use them for privacy, you can use them for shade, and you can use them for nutrition. So Yeah, something to consider if you live, especially if you live out and you got outside of town, you got a couple of acres and you want to, yeah, I want to plant some trees. What kind of trees should I plant? Well, conifers are good. I mean, they're, you know, so are maples and sweet gums and all the rest. But, you know, a variety of trees is much more enticing and looks a whole lot better than 100 of the same type, you know.
No, that makes sense. Yeah,
right.
Okay, I had to think for a second.
Yeah, it gives you some contrast and different color and all that. And if a tree usually survives the first year, you'll never have to water it again unless, you, like I say, you feel sorry for it. And for a cedar, there's a little more exotic cedar, and it's called a deodar cedar. And I have a lot of those planted amongst my timber just to see. I've got some that are planted in the field all by themselves so they can grow uninhibited and all that. But I've put some on slopes with other trees just to see how they would do. Mm-hmm. And never watered them, never did anything to them. And they grow a little bit more slowly, but
they're still okay.
They're still growing, and they're keeping up with the Doug fir and the ponderosa pine and all that kind of thing. Hmm. And there's really nothing more exotic looking than a nice deodar cedar. And if you plant them in your yard, they're going to need a little bit of water and care that first year, and maybe into year number two. But after that, again, they're and like all these conifers, they're pretty much, once they've rooted in, once they've established themselves, they're pretty good to go.
They're on their own.
They're on their own. And after that, you'll love the tree for its beauty and its filtered shade. And that was the main point of this. You can use conifers for shade, but and just remember, like I say, to give them plenty of room to grow, and of course not too close to any structure. And that's one of the things I've found over the years that really sets things back is. People that buy a tree and they're not experienced with how that tree will grow, mm-hmm. and they might have a large yard and they'll plant it within, say, 6 feet of a structure of some sort, like a garage or the back side of the house or something like that.
Yeah.
And it looks good for, you know, 4 years, 5 years, and about year six, you know, the branches are hitting the house. The branches are hanging over the fence. And maybe the neighbor on the other side don't like those branches hanging over the fence and dropping needles on his pristine garden or something like that.
Oh, live with it.
Oh, yeah, get with it, buddy. But, you know, it's give them space. Any conifer that you plant, figure at least 20 feet of spacing between trees, 15 at the minimum. You know, and I've planted Doug fir. Excuse me, I planted Doug fir for like C&D lumber way back in the day when I was young and real agile and strong and all that.
A young stud.
Yeah. So me and my brother would take these small contracts, and we did it for Roseburg lumber. We did it for some for Sun Studs, I believe, and C&D lumber, and they had little. Places, little small acreages that had been logged years ago, and they had some trees planted, but a lot of them didn't take, so we did a replant for them. And their spacing on our was about anywhere between 6 and 8 foot on from one tree to the other. That's what they wanted, because what they were doing is figuring that some of them were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
And so they didn't want to have large spaces. But if you're doing that in your yard, you're going to have way too many trees, and eventually you're going to say, oh, I got to cut some of these puppies out because they're lifting the garage.
Firewood.
firewood. Yeah, jeez Louise. But that's just a small sample of trees that, you know, are easy to find at most nurseries, and part of tree buying experience is an education that you receive when you see what's available in our area. So as you go to different nurseries and look around, each nursery has a little bit different variety. When I owned Wintergreen, we had Oh, maybe 6 or 7 varieties of different conifers, different kinds of pines, several types of fir, several types of cedar, so that when somebody came in and wanted some conifers for their, they got a 2-acre yard or something like that, they wanted a screen and they wanted big trees. Well, we could show them, you know, half a dozen to a dozen different varieties that were usable, and would do well here in Douglas County. But I don't know that I don't know what the range of species are in the different nurseries that are still in the area. And I don't think you'll find these things, too many of these things, at the box stores, because the box stores, every spring, they have all their flowers out there, and they have vegetables, and they have a few shrubs and stuff. But I've never seen a real good display of trees.
Trees, no. Yeah. Now that you mention it,
there might be a few fruit trees out there, but as far as conifers are concerned, they're not. They don't know that people will even buy them, so. But
they don't want to get stuck with them, probably.
So when you,
so to speak,
so to speak, depends on what you get stuck with. But the tree buying experience is an education, and that you're gonna receive when you see what's available here in our area. And the short list I gave you earlier are just some of my favorites. I mean, those were the kind that I like that because it grows this, and I like that because it's tough. I like this because it grows fast, you know.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things. But we've got a break here.
Already.
You got your hand on the trigger.
We do.
Okay, we'll be back. 673-4464 if you have a question.
That's our number, and we are News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, now that we've tried to decipher the news, we're back. What's our phone number?
673-4464. And if you have a question regarding any part of your garden, your yard, your landscape, or anything like that, don't hesitate to call 673-4464. We'll have a good time. But I was just giving a small sample of trees that are easy to find, like I say, at most nurseries. And part of the tree buying experience, of course, is an education that you receive when you see what's available in our area. And when I would wait on customers and they were after, you know, they came in and they didn't know an oak from a maple or anything like that, you take them through all your trees, and we probably would have 40 to 50 different varieties of trees, from flowering cherries to pine trees and everything in between. And you just walk them through and explain, well, this is what this will do, and this is what that'll do, and this is how big it'll get, and this is how you take care of it. And you give them as much information as they want and let them ask all the questions that they want. And they usually turn out and buy, you know, 2 or 3 or maybe more trees because you've given them sufficient
info
to work on. So, and I always tell them about overwatering. I mean, they get sick of me saying that, or over fertilizing.
But it's true.
It is true. I want them to be successful. I don't want them to take a perfectly good tree, take it home, dig a little stinking hole, stick it in there, and stomp it with clay and expect it to live. It won't.
Okay, Dad, you listening?
Okay, you hear that now? I want them to be successful. I want them to feel good. Every time they look at that tree, they go, yeah, isn't that a great wintergreen tree? It was. So, but I've planted, oh gosh, over my 50 years, I've planted thousands of trees in Douglas County. I mean, thousands, literally. Not only seedlings on small clear cuts and all that, but in yards.
Mike Appleseed.
Yeah, Mike Appleseed is my other name, right? And after I planted them in a landscape job or something like that, I took note on how they grew and how fast and what shapes and they did they do the job that the homeowner wanted. And I would drive by a place that I had landscape 3 years prior, and just drive by slow and see, hey, does it look good, or mm-hmm. is there a problem? And if there was a problem and I saw somebody out in the yard, I would stop and they would remember me. We'd talk and I'd say, hey, what's with the tree? What's going on? Or how come those shrubs are looking like they are? And they'd tell me, and I'd say, well, do a little bit more of this and do a little less of this and prune all that dead stuff off, and they'll come back, and everybody appreciates that. And
sure.
And you go by the next year and everything's looking good, you know, and they've learned something and now they know how better to take care of their landscape.
Right.
Because they invested a lot of money in it, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. It all comes out to the good.
Yes, yes. And so when you had happy customers, they always sent their buddies and
there
their friends out to our nursery and my landscaping business. So, but in seeing this, you know, it's kind of interesting because I got certain areas around town that have really large trees, you know, like
Laurelwood,
exactly. I don't know if that's the oldest neighborhood, and
it's got to be one of those.
It's got to be, yeah.
One, yeah.
I haven't seen a new house built there in 40 years. So
no,
they were all there when I first started.
Early 1900s.
Yeah, right. And they're beautiful. I had a friend that lived in one, and we'd go over and visit and have dinner every once in a while. And, yeah, I mean, they built them to last.
Oh, boy, did they ever. All wood, I tell you.
Yes, all wood and big wood and heavy wood.
Yeah.
Looked good. I mean, not particle board, but anyway.
No, you couldn't put your fist through that.
No, you can't. Jeez Louise. But in driving around, you know, I always take note on how things are growing, how fast. Did I give them the right information? And did they plant it in the correct place, you know, and what shapes did they maintain? Were they pruning, not pruning, you know, all those kind of stuff. But in most cases, they were pretty much good. And but once in a while you find one that's not right. They planted too close to a structure or something like that, and there's not much you can do except prune it and keep the branches off the structure and let it get above the structure and grow, which is okay. But when considering when you're planting a tree in your yard, have a plan. Look, I mean, just don't say a tree looked good there, but you know, have a plan and a purpose in mind. Like, is this going to be for shade, or is it going to be for color or privacy, or maybe all three of those reasons, you know, and plan it accordingly. In other words, you have to look at your yard with a different set of eyes that you see every day. Well, I'm going to put a tree there. But then when you start shopping for trees, be they shade trees or conifers or whatever, or fruit trees, you want to give them room to grow. You don't want to crowd them up, because you're just going to have it's going to be a hassle to take care of them, and they're not going to do their best.
It's going to be a mess.
They're not going to do their best in growth and that kind of thing. And I keep seeing that in a lot of these new homes where some landscapers get in there and they just jam in a lot of stuff. And I shake my head and I think, what a waste of time and plants, you know, because a lot of those are going to not make it because how they were planted or where they were planted.
They should have called you first.
They should have, but, you know, that's their bad, not mine. But one important consideration is how a tree in your yard is going to affect a neighbor. You know,
unless you take the attitude of my dad, and he didn't care.
Yeah, I know. Some people don't care. Some people, they don't know that that tree is going to get that big.
Oh, yeah.
And half
That's
of it's going to be hanging over the neighbor's fence and dropping leaves on the neighbor's roof and in the neighbor's yard. And the neighbor is boiling over there thinking, oh, I like the shade, but I don't like the mess every year.
He would do it on purpose.
Oh, gosh. I'm glad I never met your dad then. But neighbors, you know, you don't want to irritate neighbors, you know? It's not a fun thing to live next door to somebody that hates you for putting a tree too close to their property line or their adjacent structure. If their garage is over fairly close to their property line and you put a tree 10 feet away on the other side in your property, and that tree's going to get 40 or 50 feet tall over time, then that's going to be a hassle on their side. unless you say, "Hi, neighbor, I'm over here to rake your leaves tomorrow. Don't worry." And then they'll give you a cup of coffee.
Then they give
something.
You this.
No, you know, they don't do that. But you know, falling branches. You figure this. You got after a while, you know, a couple 10-20 years down the road.
Yeah.
Branches are pretty good size by that time, and you get a good snowstorm. Like that Snowmageddon thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
A windstorm in addition to the snowstorm? Branches come flying off trees. They break. You know, that heavy, wet snow weighs a ton. Mm. And I know from experience, because when that Snowmageddon hit, we had a Douglas fir fall on our bedroom roof. And I've told that story before, and it was like an atom bomb going off. And thankfully, it wasn't a giant one. It was about... maybe a foot in diameter, 10 inches, a foot in diameter.
Wow.
But it then hit just the bare edge of the roof, just like another 6 inches, and it would have hit the ground.
That's,
maybe 8 inches, and it would just hit beside the house.
That would still scared the hell out
of you. Oh, it did. It did. And it took a while to get it down because all the snow lasted for a week or two in my place.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't going to get up on the roof with my chainsaw and start whacking away at it until I could actually stand and not slip off.
Yeah. <You know?
coughs> And then when I called my roofer buddy, I was saying, I need a little bit of repair work over here. And he came over and did it. It wasn't much. Didn't cost me very much because the damage was minimal.
Good.
But, boy, when it hit that roof, I mean, 3 a.m,
Lord.
Came out of that bed straight up in the air. And, wow, what happened? Oh, it was horrendous.
Oh, no.
Horrendous, yes.
Did you have to comfort your wife?
No, she hit me 3 or 4 times and says, "You stupid!
Planted it too close.
Why did you put that? Why didn't you cut that tree down?" It was a natural. It was a natural, and it was, you know, in back of my house, a bit of a slope, and I cleared off all the brush and stuff to get it down, and we weed it once or twice a year, just to, you know, for fire danger and all that kind of stuff. But the tree was pretty. It was young. It was pretty.
Yeah.
It looked good. It was healthy. We got a call.
We do have a call.
All right, great.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Yeah, Semper Fi, my friend.
Semper Fi.
This is Norman.
Hi, Norman. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just fine, Michael. I have a question for you. I've been listening to you these last couple of weeks.
Good.
And when you kept talking about trees, I don't hear much said about the different root structures that you have to be careful for when planting certain trees.
Well, what would you like to know, Norman?
Everything.
Oh, well, you know, since those root structures are invisible, except for the very top part, that's difficult. But there are shallow rooted trees, and then most conifers are pretty much deep rooted. But you get into the flowering trees and some of the shade trees, then, especially if your ground has, if it's heavy clay or has a lot of rock in it, the roots have a tough time getting down deep. So consequently, they're more surface roots, and that weakens the tree. But if you prune the tree, take some of the weight off of it, you're pretty good to go. But you know, that's why when you plant a tree, and I've said this 1,000 times, make sure you excavate all that old gummy yucky soil and put in good stuff so that the roots have some place to go. You know, they go down instead of kind of on the surface where the living is easy.
Those Leland cypresses you planted for me are doing great. They're growing fast. They're filling in nicely.
Good.
And I've been thinking about planting some trees on another piece of property. But I know there are some trees that their roots grow really quick, and they're usually surface roots, and they head for whatever water pipes they can find.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the type of trees I want to stay away from.
I don't blame you, sir. Are you wanting conifers or what? Shade trees? What are you talking about?
Well, they could be deciduous, you know, so we can have some shade in the summer, and I like colorful trees, so maples are always my favorite.
Sweet gum is good, and it has a good deep root system as well.
Ah, and yeah, that's one tree I haven't looked into.
Well, the color is absolutely outrageous. In the same leaf, you'll have orange, red, and yellow. and in the fall, and they hang on. Oh gosh, they'll hang on till January before they actually drop. So, but they do have a deep root system, and they're very, very hardy, and they go deep, and they're just a good, tough, old-fashioned tree.
Right. Well, I'll look into the sweet gums then, and let you know what I decide.
Okay. Thank you.
So, how are you staying busy now that you're retired from the Winter Grain Nursery?
Well, I walk around in circles. No, it's...
Well,
it's
welcome to come up and walk around here anytime.
Well, you know, this retirement stuff isn't all what it's cracked up to be, I'll tell you that. And
tell me about it.
Yeah, it's... You know, I keep thinking, what can I do now? What should I do now? When you get up, at 5 a.m. every day, 6 days a week, and start for work and get home sometimes at 6 or 7 at night, your body gets used to it, and that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And when that's over, you go, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, and you still get up at 4 and 5 a.m. Yeah, and then you have nothing to do.
Well, I read a lot. Uh-huh. Drink coffee and read till the rest of the world wakes up.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Well, you're sure welcome.
See you soon.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, buddy.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. We'll be right back after this timeout. What's our number?
673-4464. What's my number? My number is 7.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're moving into the home stretch already, Mike.
Into the home stretch, and I'm talking about trees, I'm talking about shade, I'm talking about nutrition from the droppings of the leaves, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah, so the very important part, and I touched on this a little while ago, so like when you're choosing a tree... one good thing to do if you live in a neighborhood, consult with your neighbor on either side of you to see if they have any issues about trees, and tell them what kind of tree you'd like to have. Tell them why you want to have it, and would that be an intrusion on their property if some leaves happen to drop over, 10 years down the road when the tree got larger. And maybe even take them on a tree hunting trip with you, so you would both know what to expect in the future.
Educate
each other.
Yeah.
And that would be something that would calm any bad feeling should some leaves fall in their yard. Some people don't like leaves in their yard. Some people don't like trees in their yard. I have seen so many times too many trees planted in smaller neighborhoods that I know that the leaves are getting
into each other.
And maybe some folks don't care. I would care personally. I just go and clean them up. Hey, they're leaves.
Put them in your compost.
Yeah, put them in my compost pile. But that's a good thing, because if you go with somebody and you're looking at a lot of trees and seeing what they do, how large they grow, how fast they grow, that's all a consideration in your tree hunting trip. So that's so both of you know what to expect in the future, and maybe you can split the cost if the trees shades both yards. Who knows? You never know.
Make out a deal.
Right. And the same reasoning should be used when planting near a street. You go down these many, many streets here in Roseburg, and you'll see that their trees are right up to the sidewalk or up to the curb or something like that.
And they're growing under the sidewalk.
And lifting the sidewalk. Yep. And so if you're not paying attention, you could trip easily on the raised part of that sidewalk. From a distance, it looks okay, but you're looking at the birds, the flowers, and also
you're not expecting it.
Not expecting your toe to hit this, and you fall flat on your face.
I've done that many a time.
I bet you have. You're the type. But you know, if they're fast-growing trees, like I say, maples or oaks or something like that, they shouldn't be planted too close to a street because, you got the leaves in the street, you got the roots in the curb, maybe knocking out the curb, or at least moving it so it's ugly. danger from falling limbs on cars or your neighbors, or like I say, the root system breaking the curbs or rising up in the asphalt.
Yeah.
I've seen all this. I've seen over my 50 years of doing landscaping here in Douglas County, I've seen all this kind of stuff happening. Why did they ever plant a tree so stinking close to the street? The tree's not, doing super well. I mean, it's alive, but it's got some.
It's fighting.
Yeah, it's fighting for its life because those roots don't belong in that asphalt out there. And there's nothing for them to eat.
And the sidewalk probably isn't easy either.
Right, and like I say, the neighbor thing is very, very.
Important,
yeah. I was looking for a good word, but important is right. And it can be very expensive to remedy a situation when it comes. And like I say, I've seen so many neighborhoods in Roseburg that have these kinds of issues that are not being taken care of.
Mm.
And, it causes pain, distress, and money all the way around for the neighbors and the street people.
And hard feelings down the road.
Who've got to fix them, and then if they got to fix them, they got to excavate all that country and cut half the roots out so they can repave the street. So
Nobody wins.
Are we done already?
We're done.
Jeez Louise, I have two more pages of notes, man. Well, thanks for listening. I hope you learned something, and if you have any questions, save them up for next week. Okay?
Absolutely. Next Wednesday,
4 o'clock.
All right, the afternoon report with Douglas County's news team starting right now. It's 5 o'clock.